We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Dr. Tom Russo joining us this morning, Chief of Infectious Diseases at the Jacobs School of Medicine. Boosters are being green-lighted. The CDC expected to take the final step today. Dr. Russo, I'm especially interested in the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Anyone over 18 will be encouraged to get this booster, and they can mix and match. Is one booster better than another? Because the dosage of Pfizer and Moderna for the boosters are different.
Yeah, so let's start with the J&J people. That's about 15 million Americans. They got a single shot. And at the time, we were saying, well, you know, grab what you could get because all vaccines look great, particularly in terms of protecting against more serious disease and hospitalization. I think over time, it's become clear that the J&J hasn't performed quite as well as the Pfizer-Moderna RNA vaccine. So now the J&J people, everyone is recommended to get a booster. And the reason is because that vaccine hasn't performed quite as well. This is what I would recommend. You could get a second shot of the J&J, and that's going to boost your immune response. However, if you get a booster with either of the RNA vaccines, the Pfizer or the Moderna, and the Moderna is going to be offered at a half dose compared to the initial shot that Moderna people received, you're going to get a far significantly greater immune response, and that will likely translate into increased protection. So what I would recommend, if someone asked me this question, is if you initially got the J&J, I would get either Pfizer or Moderna as your booster shot. I'd rather have a higher degree of antibodies, and there's some clinical data with the AstraZeneca vaccine, a cousin of the J&J, that subsequently got Pfizer and Moderna, that they actually did have increased clinical protection as well. So that's my best advice.
But it wouldn't matter to you on the dosage between whether you're choosing Pfizer or Moderna?
No, I don't think so. There's a study that came out last week from NIH where the Moderna had a little bit of a better response than the Pfizer when it was used as a booster after the J&J vaccine. But that was the full Moderna dose. 100 micrograms. What's being offered now for the booster is 50 micrograms. So though we don't really know for sure and we don't have data to address it, I think the two of them are pretty close. You know, if you really want to feel better and say, yeah, well, the Moderna looks a little bit better on paper, so I'll go ahead and grab that. I think that's fine. But I don't really feel strongly one way or the other if you're a J&J recipient initially going with either Pfizer or Moderna.
I do want to go back to something you said answering that first question. And, you know, it's something we did kind of know at the get-go. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine was less effective. You know, its numbers were lower, right, than the Moderna vaccine and the Pfizer vaccine when it came to, you know, some of this asymptomatic spread or whether it's having a symptomatic infection after vaccination. But when it comes to the booster and this discussion, I feel like we also come back to the question that, you know, I feel like I've been asking a lot of, and that is, what do we need the vaccine to do? And you mentioned that it's been clear that it's less effective than the other two vaccines that are on the market. But is it effective enough at what we need it to do? And that's, again, keep most people out of the hospital and keep most people from dying.
Yeah, it's not as effective keeping people out of hospital as the two RNA vaccines. The efficacy against hospitalization in various studies, and there's always devils in the details, but it's sort of sitting around that efficacy around 70% or so, where the RNA vaccines are living closer to around 90%. So I really think the RNA vaccines are the best vaccines in the world. Their safety profile is a whiff better. It's almost impeccable. I love the RNA vaccines. We're lucky to have them in ample supply here in the country. They have certain challenges with cold storage, but fortunately, we're able to deal with that. So I really think that they have an edge over the J&J, and I think the data strongly supports that.
All right. Now, what if someone had COVID and then got the original vaccine? I think in the past you've said that this kind of person has super immunity. Do they need a booster? A lot of people don't think so.
Yeah, that's a great question, Susan. So certainly if you were previously infected, and to be clear, it's critical that someone really knows they were infected. Early on, we didn't have tests. People thought they were infected or they're asymptomatic. They got one of those sort of tests from the internet and says they were infected. But if it's clearly unequivocally documented you're infected, and you then subsequently received one of the RNA vaccines, Pfizer or Moderna, and got a full course, I think probably you could be patient and don't have to go ahead and get a booster at this time. However, if you got the J&J vaccine, I think it probably would be prudent to do that. Now, having said that, you know, our data is very limited in terms of looking at this. We could look at immune responses, but clinical data is really lacking at this time. So I think we'll learn more about this as we move forward. But you're absolutely correct that if you had an infection and you'll develop some sort of immune response, and particularly when you were vaccinated with the RNA vaccines, you had a great immune response.
I don't know if he wants to be used as an example, but I'll use my dad in here, and I don't know if he particularly feels this way, but I'll put myself in his shoes where he's kind of in that same spot. He had, you know, almost a year ago, pre-vaccination, had COVID. I mean, you know, undoubtedly so. Sounded pretty rough for a day or so, then a little stuffy, and then he was fine. And now, a few months after that fact, got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. And now to say, and I would have to say that you are maybe the first doctor we've spoken to or who I've heard in the media kind of make that nuanced approach to it instead of just saying unequivocally yes to the answer right whenever it's being asked. If I've had COVID in the past and been vaccinated, do I need a booster too? That always seems to be the answer. I just feel like if I'm that person who I just described, happens to be my dad, I would have a very hard time, you know, hey, listen, I've been through the disease, and so I have my natural immunity that we're learning more and more about that still continues to kind of hold up, and I've gotten a vaccine, and now I'm supposed to get another one. You know, where does it stop here? I'm pretty confident that I can get through this if I come in contact with it again.
Yeah, so, Brian, the devil's in the details. So let's take your dad, for example. I'm going to assume that he's older. I don't know if he has any underlying diseases.
Easy now.
Vaccinated with the J&J. And the J&J vaccine, we know, just doesn't hold up as well. The immune response is not as great as the RNA vaccines. So for your dad in that situation, I would recommend getting a booster with one of the RNA vaccines to really consolidate that protection, because I suspect that if he did get infected, he would be at great risk. And there's very little down in terms of getting the booster shot. Data supports it's extraordinarily safe. It's well tolerated. Now, let's say, pretend, Brian, that you, being younger, were previously infected and got the J&J vaccine. Maybe the sense of urgency is slightly less. However, I think a point that people need to realize is that even if you personally, feel that due to your vaccination status plus minus prior infection, that you're at very low risk for developing either disease or serious disease, you still need to look at yourself in the overall social bubble and who you interact with. So if you're going to be interacting, Brian, with individuals that are going to be more vulnerable, then you want to max your protection as well. Not so much for you, but those individuals that you interact with. And I can't emphasize this point enough. It's just not all about you. It's about who you interact with in our community. And if we max our protection across the community, you will protect others. So I think that's a category that perhaps people are downplaying. If you're younger and healthier, have no underlying diseases, maybe there's less a sense of urgency for the booster. But depends on who you interact with. because you want to protect them as well.
Dr. Tom Russo, Chief of Infectious Disease at the Jacobs School of Medicine, is our guest. You know, Dr. Russo, so much about the response to COVID has to do with the messaging that's put out into the public. And, you know, we know it's been imperfect, to say the least, over the last year and a half. But on the topic of a booster, we're here now. There seems to be a lot of confusion. Do I need it? Should I get it? Which one should I get? All these questions, could they have been alleviated if we talked more about it at the onset? And this came to me actually this week. I took my son in yesterday to get a flu shot. And I asked when I was making the appointment, and by the way, he did, you know, took it, didn't even flinch, no biggie, just a real man at the age of 1.5. But, you know, I make the appointment, I'm talking to the receptionist at the pediatrician's office, and I'm asking, oh, do I need to make another appointment too? Right, because last year he gets a flu shot and then he gets another one. It's like the flu shot and the booster. And she said, oh, no, that's just for the first time. You need the primer shot, and then you get, you know, the one that really does the trick, and then each year you just kind of need the one to boost it up. And, you know, in that simple 30-second interaction, I feel like I was able to understand more about boosters than I have from anyone I've watched on Good Morning America in the last, you know, however many months. And it all kind of made sense. Is this the same type of idea? And should this have been the message from the get-go with vaccines?
So the answer, of course, is yes, Brian. You know, communication in medicine is absolutely critical. One of the slight differences between influenza and COVID vaccines is we know all about influenza vaccines. We've been doing that for a long time. And the, you know, in the COVID world, it's been a much more fluid, dynamic situation where we're sort of learning on the fly. Remember, we were having this discussion 3 months ago. Will we even need boosters at all? And we were talking about, well, not until, you know, we see that individuals that are fully vaccinated land in hospital. And eventually from Israel, we saw that was the case for selected groups, and therefore we're moving towards boosters. So I think that's one of the major differences, is that it's a much more dynamic process with COVID. But you're absolutely right. Communication is the key. And that's why at the end of the day, you know, you could listen on, you know, the radio here and to me and read things online in the newspapers. But reaching out to your healthcare provider and having a conversation where they'll be able to spend time with you, individualize it for your situation. And I can't stress how important that is, because public health recommendations tend to be more generalized by necessity, is really the way to go. And you obviously had a positive experience with that individualized approach. And I strongly recommend that for anyone that has questions out there.
We really appreciate all your insight. Are you worried about November? I mean, if you think about it, there will be first vaccines going on in November, boosters, some mixing and matching, kids shots for 5 to 11-year-olds, and flu shots.
Yeah, well, lots of vaccines hopefully will be going in arms. And, you know, we've obviously got that combination of Halloween coming up, Thanksgiving, the religious holidays and New Year's, and we're sort of shifting indoors. And so people are a little concerned we're going to have a bump in cases. It looks like we're finally, fingers crossed, maybe turning the corner of the Delta variant here in Western New York, at least in terms of hospitalizations. But they've been down for the last few days, thankfully. You know, I'm just hoping that we can continue this momentum with vaccination. You know, 5 to 11-year-olds, I suspect, are going to be eligible within the first week of November, and they're sort of pre-planning that to get shots in arms as soon as possible. And I'm hoping that maybe a bump in cases we're going to experience in these upcoming months will be blunted due to those efforts. And after that, I'm hoping the worst will be behind us. And as we move into 2022, we'll kind of shift into a manageable phase with dealing with this virus and be in a better place. So I'm optimistic as always, as you know, Susan. So but please, everyone out there, and before I leave you, just, we've been talking about boosters. Remember, by far, the greatest benefit is getting shots in arms of those individuals that are yet to be vaccinated. Boosters are great. That's going to help certain individuals to a degree. But the overwhelming greatest benefit is get the unvaccinated vaccinated.
All right. Dr. Russo, thanks so much for the time. As always, this morning, enjoy the conversation. Dr. Tom Russo with the Jacobs School of Medicine joining us live.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.